What if, in gathering the data from the monitoring, it is found that a reserve is not working? Is there a plan in the works, adaptive management, so to speak, to make adjustments? And is the mechanism by which that could happen in place?
Absolutely. And in fact, that was another added value of the monitoring program that I didn't mention. And it's this concept of adaptive management. And most importantly, what it does is it asks the question, how well do the design criteria, or the criteria we suggested to design these protected areas, actually work? And one of the nice things about a network of protected areas like this is that with so many protected areas that differ in their size or their location or their spacing, it allows us to compare the performance of one protected area versus another. And so by doing that, if we find, for example, that either small protected areas work every bit as well as big protected areas, or in fact they don't, that some of the protected areas at the smaller end of the size range just don't seem to be working as well as the bigger ones, then that suggests to managers that you may need to expand some of these to make them even more effective. Alternatively, however, if we find that they're just not working very well, then that goes back to the body that has the authority to make those changes, and that's the Fishing Game Commission. And the commission will think about what to do, whether to continue some of these protected areas, move them, or adjust their dimensions.
It turns out that the fence around my house isn't working when it comes to keeping my dog inside. That doesn't mean, though, that I'm going to take my fence down. That when the marine protected area isn't working, it's the next step is actually to find out why. And there's a couple different reasons why. One of them might be that area does not have dramatically overfished waters. It could be that the marine protected area isn't working because the ecosystem is not being damaged by fishing, which is a good thing to know. Or it could be that the marine protected area isn't working because it's not being enforced. And so there's as much fishing inside of it as there has ever been. Or it could be that something else has changed. For example, in Hopkins right now, we can look to see how many kelp fish there are in the kelp forest. And there are more inside the reserve than outside. But not as many as you might expect, but then we have 400 seals laying on the beach. And so it could be that the seals are actually eating into that extra fish population, and so maybe the refuge isn't working because of that. So I completely agree with Mark. The adaptive nature of what we can do is really important. We have to continue that. The part of the reaction has to be based upon what the mechanism is.
Yeah, I'll just add on to that by saying, the key here is to find what is working and what does that mean. Because one of the most important reasons for having MPAs is to have an area in the ocean that's a benchmark for evaluating what's happening outside of that area. And so you can't just say we expect marine protected areas to have lots more fish or lots bigger fish and say if it doesn't have that, it's not working. Because one of the purposes for MPAs is to use them to see how they're changing relative to areas outside. And that gives us an idea of how our ocean's changing as the climate changes. And so some of the things that are the traditional expectations of protection may or may not accrue, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the MPA is not working.
You just answered my next question. What is an MPA network? How do the networks work? How do you know if they are working over time?
Well, I'll mention what they are. You can mention if they're working and how you figure that one out. So the concept of the network is largely in recognition of one of the most fundamental aspects of marine organisms, and that's the idea, and Steve alluded to this earlier, that's the idea that the majority of the marine organisms that are out there, when they reproduce, they produce young that don't stay with the parents, right? They're larvae or eggs that are carried by ocean currents and to eventually replenish populations, but possibly somewhere far from where they were actually produced. And so there's two consequences of that, one that's really good and one that's dangerous. So the dangerous one is that if you protect a population and it's producing young that are being carried off to replenish somewhere else, the question is, what's going to replenish the population within your protected area, right? Because it's just like all other sites, dependent on the young that are brought to that population by ocean currents to replenish and maintain those populations. Of course, the benefit of that is, as Steve said earlier, if you produce a spawning stock of big, large, older females and they're cranking out all these babies, they're not just going to help replenish the marine protected area, they're going to help replenish fisheries up and down the coast. So there's a cost and a benefit from either of those. The idea then is to make sure that there's plenty of young that are being produced to replenish the populations in the protected area, is to place them close enough to one another so that young produced by one protected area in addition to the young that are being produced outside of the protected areas will help replenish a protected area elsewhere along the coastline. And so that's the idea of spacing each of these protected areas along the coast at a distance where the larvae can disperse from one protected area onto the next. The added benefit of that, separate from that, is that if in the hopes of replenishing fish populations along the coast, if you place them at those distances, you make so for example, one idea would be to take the whole upper half of the central coast and make it one big marine protected area. And if you did that, you'd have all these young replenishing the populations within that protected area, but everything in the south would not benefit from that because the larvae wouldn't get that far. Instead, if you take that same amount of area, you break it up into smaller pieces as we've done along the central coast, now the larvae that are produced in those protected areas are bathing that whole coastline, right, from one MPA to the next. So you maximize the area outside of the protected areas, the fisheries that are being replenished by making networks that are spaced at those distances.
Yeah, I'll say that in a little different way. But just by just saying simply, the network idea, you can look at it the way that Mark described it, or you can look at it as simply spreading risk and benefits. And so, as Mark said, if you don't have any MPAs in the southern area and you're not getting the benefits of those extra larvae that might come, you also have a situation where you might have a small-scale tragedy such as an oil spill. And if you don't have anything in that region to help rebuild the stocks, then you've got some risk associated. So, one of the purposes of the network is to spread potential benefits and potential risks along the coast. The other thing is that if you spread the networks, spread reserves into a network, you have a greater opportunity of capturing the representative nature of the distribution of species and habitats. And as much as we'd like to tell you that we know a lot about the ocean, there is still a lot that we don't know. And so by spreading these MPAs along in what appear to be similar habitats, we can learn what changes that occur to those habitats and what that might be caused by So we're learning more about the actual capabilities of the ocean to surprise us. And then thirdly, that by spreading NPAs along the coastline into a network, you have the opportunity to provide protection for more mobile animals for a portion of their lifespan. Because most of the NPAs that were designed were based upon protection for sedentary or sessile animals. And yet, there was a lot of debate about the value of MPAs for mobile species, salmon, tuna, et cetera. And so, if you have MPAs within the range of those mobile species, they'll be spending a period of their time within that MPA. And theoretically, the fishing mortality or their mortality will go down as they're protected for a period of time, which would be beneficial to local species as well.